Let's turn in our Bibles to, what do we want to turn? I've got so many good things. Let's go to Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. You said, there's a book in the Bible named Amos? Yeah, I'm not pulling your leg. It's really there. It's in the Old Testament. You have major prophets there coming through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And then you have Daniel and Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. And we want Amos chapter 4, verse 12. We're actually taking this as our text, and we're going to end at this place. We will actually look at a few more other scriptures along the way. So you may want to drop a ribbon in here or a pen or keep a finger here. We'll be back. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, watch it, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Look what he said. Prepare to meet thy God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to be together. My spirit is very, very, very refreshed being here today, sitting here and looking out over the sheep that are gathered here today, thinking of what you've done in my heart, done in our hearts together as a church, Father. You've really, really, really drawn us close together in a very loving relationship with each other and with you. And I do, in fact, love you very much, Father, and I love these folks. I'm very burdened today, Father, that we preach what you want preached. You have something that you want to tell those of us who are gathered here today. But in order to do that, Father, I really can't be in the way. My mind sometimes goes in a way that your mind doesn't go. You said your thoughts are not my thoughts. Today, Father, I pray that we can, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, think with the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray today that you'll control the thoughts, control the mouth, control the heart, the eyes, everything about this vessel so that you can accomplish what you want done here with the folks that are gathered. Anything and everything you desire, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And here he says, prepare to meet thy God. I remember years ago I was preaching, and when we were in Bible college, one of the things we did is we did a fair amount of street preaching. And it was really helpful because, for one thing, the gospel is being preached to people who aren't in church that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the other thing is it got us used to preaching with a lot of distractions going on. To my knowledge, in all the years of pastoring, I've never had anybody stand up and heckle me or anybody try to come forward and try to beat me up, at least not during the message. I actually had one guy that wanted to beat me up after the message. And I didn't even preach it. I just asked the guy to preach it, and I somehow or another was implicated in this deal. But anyway. And so you know, we don't have that many distractions here. We do have people that kind of wait until the preaching starts to decide they need to go back and refresh themselves, and so you can get kind of that exchange. But that's minor to compare to some of the stuff that we learned, and so it helped us. One particular day, I was preaching with a fellow named Pete Dickens. He is a missionary now in England, and you've seen him here recently. He and I stood up at the back of a truck, and we went down to an old abandoned causeway, which was a fishing bridge, and we went up and down that bridge and preached to all the people that were there. It was a captive audience. They weren't going anywhere, and so it gave us an opportunity to be very thorough in tract distribution and in preaching. And when Pete's turn came up to preach, he just stood on the back of the truck, and the entire time that he preached, he only said one thing. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare, prepare, prepare to meet thy God. To this day, I haven't forgotten it. I thought that was very effective. I thought, you know, people should be. But now that seems a little contradictory when you talk in terms of some other things that Jesus Christ preached. Because he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The idea being, concentrate on what you're doing today. And everybody now, when they're going through counseling and going through rehab and things, they say, live in the present. You know, the past is behind you. The future hadn't come yet. Don't let the fears and worries of the future bother you. Don't let the regrets of the past bother you. Live in the present. Jesus said when he was preaching, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need to live in the present. And there's a lot of truth in that, but you cannot forsake adequate and proper preparation. You see, at the same time that we recognize that we have only today because we're not sure about tomorrow and we're not even sure about the next 5 minutes. The truth of the matter is, if we do go past the next 5 minutes or if we do arrive tomorrow, we have to be prepared for whatever comes. Bob Jones Sr. said the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do the things that you ought to do today. We're going to take a trip to France after the wedding and meet Ori's family that lives in France. And while we're there, we're going to go down to Normandy and we're going to visit the beaches. And it turns out this is the 70th anniversary of the invasion. So it's quite hard to get down there. It's pretty complicated, but I'm looking forward to it. And in order to prepare, I'm reading a couple of books written by Stephen Ambrose about Normandy, about the Band of Brothers and so forth, involving that invasion to try to get some understanding of what I'm going to see when I get there. Because on those deals, you don't stay nearly long enough to appreciate everything that was done. And in that, Eisenhower was saying that it's very, very important to plan and prepare. He said, you get to the beach, you pretty much abandon the plans because it changes rapidly, but not the preparations. And the preparations were absolutely grueling, and without the preparations, the men could have never have accomplished what they accomplished when they got there. There was a lot of physical training, and there was a lot of tactical training, there was a lot of strategical training, weapons training, everything you can imagine these men had to go through again and again and again and again and again, literally in some cases for years to be prepared for what they had to encounter when they got there. And so, listen, without that preparation, whatever happened there would not have turned out the way that it did. Do you understand? And consequently, we also need to prepare. We will return to this text, but let me just say this. The Lord prepares. The Lord prepares some things. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says to another group, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you by my Father. So, listen, if the Lord is going to make these kinds of preparations over a period of time, we likewise need to be prepared for certain things. Now, if you listen just exclusively to the newspaper and to the news media in its various facets of delivering the news, you might think that what you need to do is prepare for a disaster. And so a lot of people today that are Christians are preparing for an economic failure and a failure in food distribution, and so they're hunkering down. I appreciate what Brother Nichols said. He said, as a church, we still have a duty to reach our generation with the gospel. And you can't do that very well if you're hunkering down in a shelter with 10 years of food and water. And how many ever dollars or thousands of dollars of gold and silver. I'm thinking, what are you going to buy with it anyway? And when anybody finds out that you're the one with the supplies, they're coming to get you. You're going to have a terrible fight on your hands. Don't tell anybody what you've done if you've made those kinds of preparations. Now, I appreciate what men have said. You know, we live in a hurricane area, and it's appropriate to be prepared for an emergency here. It's appropriate to be able to take care of yourself for a period of time while services are terminated and deliveries can't come in. That makes sense to me. And so when we talk today, we're going to talk about a few things in the Bible that make sense for us in terms of preparation. Let me say this, that in 1 Chronicles, if you go there with me, chapter 29, verses 2 and 3, you and I have a perspective on this preparation already. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 2 and 3. Though we have no guarantee for tomorrow, if tomorrow comes and we haven't made some preparations, it's going to be harder for us to deal with it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 2 and 3, David is speaking. And he's speaking unto the congregation in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. And he says in verse 2, now I have prepared. 1 Chronicles 29, 2. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. The gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver to be for the things of silver, the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of diverse colors, all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. I mean, he was very, very specific and particular about the things he prepared. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. So when Solomon came to the throne, it was much easier for Solomon to begin construction in the fourth year of his reign because all these preparations had been made. David prepared the floor of the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite as the location of the temple, and then all of these things to go into the construction of the temple. And Solomon then made an agreement with Hiram, king of Tyre, and they got other supplies, the wood and things that needed to come down in order to then actually build the temple. He prepared for the house, the holy house. I'll start with this point simply to say this. We wouldn't be sitting in this facility today enjoying the privilege of being here without having to service debt because it's paid for if we hadn't made preparations. You see? And so today we are reaping the benefit that years ago we sat down with an architect and designed. Years ago we sat down as a church and prayed and thought. Years ago, we began not spending every penny that came in. And then the Lord blessed and amounted that up until there was a sufficient amount to begin and a sufficient amount to end. You can't get to this place where we are today in a building paid for and complete and furnished and thought through without adequate preparation. It doesn't happen. People say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to tell me, and then I'm just going to get up and I'm going to go to Brazil. Doesn't happen like that. Did you remember when Brother Nichols gave his testimony? He said, when I realized then that I had a duty to my generation, I abandoned the thoughts of military service and began, I surrendered to go into the ministry and go back to Brazil. I went to Bible college. You see? The Woods today are not with us because they are traveling. They're up in Kyleen. He's presenting his ministry there to Moldova, and then he's going to preach this afternoon. They're going to come back briefly, and then they'll be on the road for a long stretch of deputation. You know what all that is? It's preparation. 2.5 years ago, when they surrendered to go to the field of Moldova, they honestly believed that they would put their business up for sale, their house up for sale, and be in Moldova by August of that year. They went to take a survey trip thinking, we'll go and never come back. Now they've been through 2 years of preparation nearly, in addition to that time that they prepared from February to August. And he'll tell you, if he was standing here today, I needed every bit of the preparation and the rest that God's going to give me while we continue on this deputation. And so it's very, very important for us to realize that when we have this call or this burden or this desire, we've got to put forth some effort to bring to pass that thing that God wants us to do as a church and as individuals. There are preparations that need to be made. Okay? Look with me also in Joel. You say, thank you that you did that because it's the book right before Amos, and you've already been to Amos. Joel chapter 3, if you kept a marker in Amos, it's easy for you to get back to Joel because it's right before there. Joel chapter 3. And let me show you this here in verse 9. I've already made some allusion to it, but there's another comment I'd like to make about it. Joel chapter 3, look at verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Now, as I said, the work that we've done in any military pursuit of this country had to be made with adequate preparations. When we've done something we weren't prepared to do, it turned out to be a disaster. But let me say this, when you are adequately prepared, as Joel says the army is to be prepared here, you've got to remember something. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And the point of that very simply is that if you make all of your preparations and leave God out of your preparations, you may be surprised. There came a time when Israel was going to defend itself against the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar was coming in, and Jeremiah had proclaimed to Israel, listen, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. And he is going to take these two southern tribes captive, and he is going to destroy this city. And he says to Zedekiah, who was the king at that time, he said, you know what? If you will surrender and willingly go into captivity, Nebuchadnezzar will not destroy this temple and will not take the rest of those things that David prepared for the temple and all those vessels that were made under Solomon's reign. If you will just do this, because you all have disobeyed me so much. And Nebuchadnezzar said, you're taking away the heart of this people to fight. That's what he told Jeremiah. We can't listen to you, because if we listen to you, we will surrender. And I think that what we need to do is prepare for war. And Jeremiah told him this. He said, go ahead and make your preparations. I'm paraphrasing it. Go ahead and make your preparations. If after the battle there are nothing left but wounded Chaldeans, they will rise up and they will destroy this city. Do you get the point? The point is that if you make adequate preparations in life and leave the Lord out of your preparations, you may be surprised if the Lord turns against your preparations, because there's nobody in this universe that can prepare himself against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So, as we consider these things about preparations, keep in mind this. Prepare according to the will of God. And prepare according to the direction of God. Let me show you something else. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and also get in the other hand Proverbs chapter 30. You say, well, this is wearing me out. I can't even keep notes now, because I've got one finger in Amos 4 and one in 2 Timothy 2. That's both hands. Where am I coming up with the other one for Proverbs chapter 30? You'll figure it out. Proverbs chapter 30. You see, you do it like this. I've got them all in one hand. Proverbs chapter 30. All right, now we're going to start with Proverbs chapter 30 and look at this. Verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Now watch it, verse 25. The answer of people not strong. You know that, because when you were a kid, you used to go to the red ant mound and you used to stomp them out and see how many of you could kill on the trails till one of them bit you. And then you were like, I don't like this anymore. The answer of people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. All right, well, if the Lord prepares places like the mansions and the inheritance, and David prepared for the holy place, and generals prepare for the war, and those things eventually come to pass, and it was needful that the preparations be made, I would like to offer to you from Proverbs chapter 30 that there's some very practical preparations that you and I can make. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, the answer of people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. People say, do you believe the Lord's coming back? I do. I know He's coming back. Do you believe that He's coming back soon? And when I look around, I see all kinds of indications that make me believe the Lord is coming back in my lifetime. But you know something, as I've studied other Bible-believing Christians in other periods of time, you know what I've noticed? They also thought that the Lord was coming back in their lifetime. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He expected His imminent return even before His own death. But the fact is, He may not come now. He may come a little later, or He may come a lot later. And so the truth is, I'm talking now practically. When you consider that you might be here for a longer period of time than you thought you might have been here when you believed that Jesus was coming in 1989, in 1988, in 1992, in 1999, in 2000, and all those other things, you might want to make some preparations. You said, what are you talking about? Well, there are practical preparations. You know, back in the day when I entered into the ministry, one of the common things that that we were taught is, you know, you oughtn't to contribute to Social Security. War's coming back. Well, a lot of those guys reach 65, and guess what? They don't have a retirement now. And the reason is they didn't make an appropriate preparation for the fact that they might still be here and need something to live on when their bodies and minds weren't strong enough to allow them to be effective in their ministries anymore. And people say, well, but how can I do that and give everything I need to give to ministry? You know what? That's why I say you make these preparations in accordance with God's plan. But the truth of the matter is, there are some people today, I remember, that heard this years ago, that the Lord was coming back sometime in the 80s or 90s, and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take out a loan on our boat and give all that to missions, and then when the Antichrist comes, he can pay off the debt. And guess what? They had to pay off the debt on that boat because he didn't come. The point being that in our preparations for things of the Lord, we need to be very practical. We need to exercise some common sense. We need to recognize that things we own need to be taken care of because you may need to still occupy them years from now. And vehicles you have, you're not going to escape the need for maintenance on those just because you think the Lord's going to rapture you out of here before the thing breaks down. Do you understand? A lot of times what happens in Christianity is we get to looking, well, as a man said, I'm not looking so much for his appearing, I'm looking more for my disappearing. But in the process of doing that, what happens is a lot of things that need to be taken care of with proper preparations are neglected because men are not exercising the right attitude with the preparations that God intends for you to make with regard to your family and your children. I realize these things are hard to balance sometimes, but they need to be balanced. They need to be balanced. You need to be, it's not wrong to be wise. As a matter of fact, the Lord commends to us the wisdom of the ant, and he says, that ant right there is wise because she prepares her meat in the summer. Do you understand? In the winter, there's no meat for the ant to eat. So she has to go out while there's harvest and grain and pick up all the things that she needs and put them down inside of the anthill. And then during the months when there is nothing for them to eat, they have something to eat and they have it all inside the hill. In other words, when you live within your means, remember, don't spend it all up. Be very generous with the Lord. Be very wise with your preparations. That's the proper balance. That's a good thing to do. All right? You know, I love to give to missions and give a lot to missions. And I love to give to the Lord. And we do that. But I also recognize the proper need of a proper balance. And always remember that. You say, what if the Lord comes and I end up with some money in the bank that I didn't get to use for my family because I didn't know the time of His coming? He's not going to tell you the time of the coming to bet it down to the last penny anyway. You say, well, I want to live like Jesus. Then don't get married. But if you're going to take on the responsibility for a wife and a family, then you've got to make some preparations. Okay, so you get the point. There's a very practical side to this. All right. Then, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's also a spiritual side to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 20, Paul is writing to Timothy about us, and he calls us vessels. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, he says, but in a great house that there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So not only do you make adequate preparations for the practical side of life, remembering that safety is of the Lord, but also you make adequate preparations for the spiritual side of life. That is, that you are concerned that God has a purpose for you in your life. And there are certain things listed in 2 Timothy, and we're not going to study all of these today, from which you need to purge yourself so that you can be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now there are young people in here today, and when I say that, I'm talking about anybody that's 60 and younger. And the rest of us, we think young. But there's enough physical evidence now to prove that we're not as young as we used to be. There are a lot of young people in here today that think, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to experience some of the fun side of life. And then when I'm a little bit older, I can then get serious about serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. That is not proper preparation. That is not proper preparation at all. Now there are some of us in here that survived reckless living. But I'm going to tell you, there's not a day or at least a week that goes by when we go back and consider some of that reckless living and we would do it over again if we didn't have to live it again. We don't want to go back and do it, live it again, but we sure would do it differently now that we've come this far. Why? Why? Because we weren't thinking in terms of preparation when we were doing those things. We were thinking of now. Everything you do today is going to affect what happens to you in the future. Every bit of it. And so if you stray for a little while, that time of straying is going to affect your future. And so every time you make a decision, every time you do anything in life, what you want to remember is, not only how does this please me now, because sin does have a season of pleasure, but how is this going to affect me in the future? Am I going to be happy with the preparation I made for the future by the action that I took today? Am I going to want to give account of this episode in my life? Well, I've seen so-and-so and they took a detour, but they seem to have a big smile on their face. Yes, but their future hasn't fully developed yet. One fellow was a farmer. You've heard me use the illustration before, and he went to church every Sunday, and the other farmer said, I can't afford to do that during the harvest because I won't reap as well and I won't make as much on my harvest. And the two finished up at the end, and the one that skipped the Sundays to work went to the other guy who had gone to church every Sunday, and he said, you see, if you'd have done what I did, you would have had a better harvest than you did. And the other farmer that went to church every Sunday said, yeah, but God doesn't settle his accounts at the end of the harvest. There are other considerations. Those days I spent in church on Sunday were preparing me for something beyond the harvest. Every decision you make today, every action you take today, bears fruit tomorrow. Every bit of it. Let's say in here today that Brother Nichols offered you a little challenge and said, if there's anybody here that would surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ to do something for Him. You know what that surrender is today? It's a surrender to preparation. It's not a surrender to the... Somebody says, boy, I wish I could get up there and preach. I remember sitting where you are and I used to say the same thing. Boy, I sure, man, I'd love to get up there and do that. I sure got some things I want to tell these folks. So I surrendered that call and then I went off to school for 3 years. And the 3 years I was there, I'm thinking, why did I ever do this? What was I thinking? It was like boot camp. It was terrible. It was hard on our marriage. It was hard on our family. It was hard on our health. It was hard. But there was a reason for it, because the call to preach is a call to prepare. The call to serve is a call to prepare. And so think about this in two ways. Number one, think that whatever you're doing today is going to affect you tomorrow. So are you really preparing yourself well as a vessel of honor for the Lord by the things you're doing today? Second thing, if you really do want to do something for the Lord in the future, what are you doing about it today to prepare? I know that when Brother Boatman comes to Bible study on Monday night with two of his sons, he's just bringing them to expose them to manly behavior and some of the things we do. Sam is in there and Ben is in there for the men's Bible study. But I'm going to tell you something. That time they spend with us for 2 hours is not wasted. I know how boys are that are young, that are rambunctious. They want to get up and go. But for 2 solid hours, those boys will sit there at that table just like the others with the notes in front of them, quietly taking notes at their level. We pass out an assignment for the men to work on right there, and Sam goes, "Yes!" And I'm thinking to myself, he doesn't even know the foundation that God is laying in his life today. And the exposure he's seeing to manly behavior, and that, hey, I really can sit here for a couple hours and I don't have to jump up and do things that kids normally do. Preparation, preparation, preparation. And let us go back to Amos chapter 4, verse 12, if you can find it again. There's a practical side to preparation, and there's a spiritual side to preparation, and everything you do has to be weighed in the balance of those two things every day. But then let me say this. The Bible says in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God." And I'm going to ask you something here today. Are you prepared to meet God? I've been to 2 funerals this week, and I've been to many in my life, but I went to 2 this week. And every time I do that, I'm always reminded of the same thing. Another life is gone. One died at 68, the other died at 69. I've done funerals for children that never saw the light of day. They died in the womb. I've done funerals for, the caskets are this big. Just in infancy. You know, crib death and that kind of thing. For teenagers. For old, every age. You don't know the time of your death. I was in a church years ago and the pastor was preaching. I was sitting about where Orville and Edie are, and all of a sudden I heard thunk. And I turned around and looked back, and there was some stir in the back, and there was a doctor in the congregation that had gone back there. And then soon I heard another thunk as the body was taken off the pew and onto the floor and out into the foyer. And right in the middle of the service, a woman had a heart attack and died. Do you realize that that is a reality? That can happen to you, and it can happen now. Do you realize that as much as you have made preparation for a life that might last much longer, that your life might not last another minute? And my question to you is, are you prepared to meet your God? You say, "Well, I have a will." That's practical preparation. You say, "Well, I have a trust for my children." That's a practical preparation. You say, "Well, I have a pre-need arrangements for my funeral." That's a practical preparation. "I have insurance so that my family will be able to survive when I'm gone." That's a practical preparation. And many men and many women have those practical preparations. My question to you is, are you prepared to face God in eternity? That's a spiritual preparation. And it's an amazing thing to me how many people seriously recognize the need to do all those other things that I just mentioned and seriously neglect the need to make preparations for eternity. I don't know what the condition of your soul is, but if you're here today and you are not, like one man said, "I'm not ready to see Him, but I'm prepared." In other words, he's talking about he wants to keep on living. He didn't want to die at the moment. Are you prepared? I'm seriously. Are you prepared to meet Him? You're going to stand before God and He's going to ask you a question similar to, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" And you're going to say, "Well, because I've been a good person." And He's going to go, "Wrong answer." And He'll say, "Well, is that your final answer?" He said, "Well, I've tried to do the best that I could." You're done. Gone. And I don't mean to minimize or overly humor the experience. The point is, there are a lot of people who think they are prepared to meet God that are going to give the wrong answer when they get there. And if you don't know absolutely for sure from the Scripture what the right answer is, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not prepared. You say, what's the right answer? The right answer is, you shouldn't let me into this kingdom. I don't deserve to be here. But Jesus Christ died to save my soul, and I put my trust in Him, and He said when I put my trust in Him that I was prepared. And the Lord will say, that's the right answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, I'll tell you what. If I were you and I had heard some things like this that were practical today, I'd say, thank God for a preacher that's balanced about these matters. But if I came here today and I wasn't prepared to meet God in eternity because I had not fully trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary for my salvation, I would not walk out that door until I had taken care of business with God. I'm telling you what I would do. You say, how do you know that? Because when I heard what I'm telling you, I took it up with the chaplain of the school and asked him to tell me how I could know for sure. He showed me from the Scripture and I believed him. I'm not him, but I'm talking about the Lord. And my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. I'm prepared. My bags are all packed. I'm ready to go. I look around this congregation and I think to myself, I hope everybody here is saved, but if you're not saved here today, you need somebody to show you from the Scripture how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, why that? Because I didn't really preach the gospel. And it's the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings salvation. Somebody needs to sit down with you for just a few minutes and open the Scripture and show you right here in the Scripture what it is that Christ did and how you can avail yourself of His finished work. I was talking to a young man recently and he took a detour from the Lord for a period of time. And he came back to the Lord. May I tell you something? Sometimes we detour from the Lord, but the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He doesn't detour from us, thank God. And that young man was talking about some of the struggles he was having getting through some of the sins he'd been involved in. And you know what he said to me? He said, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt whenever I face temptation in my life, as if I hear from the Lord, you don't have to give in to that. And he said, you know why? Because that sin is finished in my life at Calvary. Jesus Christ already died for that. Boy, I'll tell you what. You never hear that from anybody that's not saved. You'll hear people say, well, I'll turn over a new leaf, try to do the best I can. That's not going to do you any good. You've been trying to do the best you can up to now and hadn't done you very good. You need something better than that. You know what you need? You need preparation. The Bible says, like Steve did, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare, prepare, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish something in this congregation that only you can do in answer to the prayers we've prayed. And that is, I pray that what we've spoken today is a great help to these that have gathered. And I also pray that if there's someone in our midst today not prepared to meet you because they haven't received you as their Savior, that they would have enough courage to stay after the service just long enough for somebody to show them and make an informed decision in their minds and in their hearts about Jesus Christ. Now your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I pray the Lord really, truly has done something for you to help you with this. But I want to ask you right now, you're here today and you are not prepared to meet God because you're not saved. Would you do yourself a favor, simply raise your hand right now and say, preacher, I'm not ready. Would you show me? I'd be glad to. Is anybody here today? Just slip your hand up, slip it right back down. Nobody else is looking around. It's just between you and God. And say, preacher, thank you, sir. Thank you. That's a very, very courageous decision. To say, I want to see. And I'll tell you, is there anybody else to raise a hand right now? Just say, preacher, please. I want to see. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask this young man one other question. He's got an interest in this. If you'd like somebody to show you from the Scripture how to receive Christ, just look this way. Look at thank you. And there's a fellow back here, our associate pastor. I'm going to get him to come to you right now. He'll take you back to his office. He'll open up the Scripture for you, let you see for yourself what the deal is. If you want Jesus, you can receive Him today. He's right here in the aisle. Just slip out of your seat while everybody else is praying. He'll show you from the Scripture. Just 5 minutes at the most, 7 minutes, and He'll show you how to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, that's the wisest decision any man will ever make. It's a courageous decision to respond to the preaching of the gospel. Now, others of you here today, heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Is there some young man or some young lady today that would slip your hand up, slip it right back down, just say, "Preacher, you know, time to time we hear from these missionaries and they say, you know, you ought to surrender your life to do something for the Lord. I just want you to know that I'm really in that category. I want God to use me in some special way." If you're here today like that, just slip your hand up and slip it right back down. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I just want to pray for you and encourage you. I encourage you. You start your preparation now. You don't have to wait 5 more years and then start your preparation. It begins now with every decision you make and every prayer you pray and everything you do. God, you've seen the uplifted hands of these, and there's numerous. There were a dozen hands of young people that have raised their hands and say, "Yes, count me in that category. I want my life. I'm surrendering my life to the Lord. I want my life to be used for God in some special way." Lord, I pray that you will help them from this very, very, very moment to be reminded of this moment every time they're getting ready to make a decision, Lord, that could cause them to dishonor that vessel. They'll hear the voice of the Spirit of God ringing in their ears. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. A vessel prepared under honor. And that will be a block. It'll be a cause for them to turn from dishonor. I pray, Lord, that they will sacrifice whatever's necessary to make all preparations necessary to be used by you. I won't ask for a show of hands on this, but one other prayer I'd like to pray. Perhaps what you've done is you've just thrown it all, gotten reckless with your life, and forgotten that you may live 20 more years. You were counting on Jesus getting you out of this mess, and you realize now you kind of really need to be a better balanced life than that. I pray for you, Father. I ask you for Christians, Lord, that may have been a little reckless in life, need to really shore up some things and be practical in their balance. They may be here for a little longer. To live their lives in such a way that they're not reckless, and to be very, very astute in their giving, very astute in their spending, so that they are constantly aware of the fact that they need to be prepared for you and prepared that in the future, Father, they may have to live according to the things they've done today. And I pray you'll give them wisdom, courage to make those right decisions. And I ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.